Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Okay, so here's what we got, guys. Today we're going to cover kind of where we're at in the capital markets, an update on some of the fiscal stimulus. We've got five stocks that we want to talk about that we think will weather the storm, and kind of an update on what's going on with energy and oil prices. So with that, let me kick this off, and then Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we'll go from there. On the context to look at this, we've always split the economy separate from the financial system, separate from the capital markets. And I think the financial system in and of itself, the programs the Fed's put in place have been very powerful. So we think we have a very strong financial system. However, administratively, I think the banking system is going to be overloaded this week with applications from small businesses for the payroll support loan program that the government released last week. However, from a financial standpoint, we think it's pretty strong. Now, with respect to the economy, though, the labor market is showing real signs of trouble. We saw the unemployment claims rise over 6 million, and that's from 3 million the prior week. An unemployment rate hit 4.4% off of a low of 3.5% in February. So we've got, in 2 weeks' time, we've got small businesses like barbershops, nail salons, restaurants, just literally closing. So the goal is to put money into people's hands. And this is not just the U.S., it's global. Berlin is providing up to 5,000 euros for self-employed and small business people. Italy's 600 euros. France is offering 1,400 euros to its self-employed population. So across the globe, the idea of putting money into people's hands for short-term stimulus is allowing them to pay rent, buy food, just to keep the economies moving. So it's the question is, will it work? And we think to some extent it will. We think there are weak business models that will close their doors. So this is going to test that. And it kind of shows the underbelly of the economy and how weak some of these business models were, how long in the tooth the recovery actually was. And so the this is not anything that's proven statistically, but we call it the rule of three. And for every day that we're in this shutdown period, it's going to take 3 days to get out. So if we're shut down for 30 days, we're looking at a 4 month recovery. Potentially, we don't know that, but that's our guess, is that there is some multiplier that we have to apply in order to get the economy back on track and moving again. So with that as kind of a backdrop to where we are, Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. So as Greg mentioned, this week we wanted to hit on five stocks to weather this storm. It's obviously been a painful month through March. So we just wanted to highlight a few names that we liked through this and then coming out of it. So those names are Microsoft, Lockheed Martin, Amazon, Johnson & Johnson, and Alphabet/Google. So I'll start with Alphabet and turn it over to Freddie and then take it back to close up with Amazon. But Alphabet, also the old Google holding company, obviously big ad revenue company, the biggest in the world. Some people would say owns a monopoly there, maybe a duopoly with Facebook. But right now, running at 22.5 times earnings, we think have the potential to grow earnings this year, despite everything going on, to $55 per share. And really, that's driven by the fact that you're going to see more people who are at home, engaged, and that's going to drive increased ad revenue, and at the margin, at least stabilize it through the next couple of months. Return on capital has stayed around 18%, which is extremely strong. And revenue growth for what seems like forever has been near 20%, last year running at 19%. So we think this is a company that has a very stable business model through everything going on in the economy. So we like it right here. With that, I'll turn over to Freddie.
Thanks, Adam. So the second company we like is Johnson & Johnson. This is the world's largest medical conglomerate, operates in over 60 countries with 250 subsidiaries. All of their products are widely known, 26 of them generating over $1 billion in sales a year. The three main sections of Johnson & Johnson include sanitation, healthcare, pharma, and medical devices, all of which are appealing businesses in regards to the coronavirus. So we expect Johnson & Johnson to be a leader in developing a treatment for COVID-19, as well as supplying hospitals with the necessary inventory to help rebuild. Overall, the company is very stable and very safe. It's a triple A-rated company, the only one other than Microsoft, and it has a dividend yield of 3%. A lot of companies may cut their dividends during this time with unsustainable payout ratios, excessive debt, or just declining operating fundamentals. But looking at Johnson & Johnson for the year 2019, the company generated just under $20 billion in free cash flow against the $9.92 billion in dividends paid. So that's a free cash flow payout ratio of 49.8%, which is a very safe ratio. It currently trades at 15 times earnings, which is well below its average of close to 20. So pretty much checks all the boxes for a safe investment. And it's in a sector which should capitalize from the coronavirus. So we think this is a good stock to own. The third pick we have is Microsoft. Shares of Microsoft have not been hit as hard as they have a few segments that are benefiting from the new norm of working from home, which is one reason that we do like this stock to weather this storm. So the biggest momentum Microsoft is seeing right now is Microsoft Teams. And we've seen more news of momentum from companies like Zoom and Slack, but these are companies with one service while Teams is just a portion of a tech giant. So Teams is actually the leader in this market. In November, Teams had reached 20 million daily active users. By March 11, they had 32 million. And last week, that number hit 44 million daily active users. So using the $5 it costs per user, the 12 million people added about $720 million in revenues. And that's not including additional services offered, which could put the number closer to $1 billion in just a two-week span.
Hey, and Freddie, that includes Winthrop, too.
Yeah, it does.
That includes Winthrop is a new team member this coronavirus crisis. Okay, keep going, man. Sorry about that.
And then the last thing I'll say about Teams is, although many might consider it a short-term spike, it's possible that many companies see the productivity from working at home actually hold up and it allows greater flexibility. So this boost to Teams could have a longer lasting impact than just a one-time boost. Valuation-wise, shares of Microsoft are currently trading at 153. The company has a return on invested capital of 23%, a market cap of $1.1 trillion, and debt-to-asset ratio of 30%. So at $153, the valuation is pretty full with earnings for 2020 near $574 and revenue growth of 13%. The stock trades near a 26.5 PE multiple and a 22.4 times price to cash flow multiple. The 52-week high for the stock was back in February. Shares were 190. They're down 3% year to date, but down over 20% from its highs just 2 months ago. So with its strong balance sheet and ability to perform in basically any environment, we like Microsoft as another good pick. And then our fourth pick is Lockheed. Lockheed is a global security and aerospace company. It operates through four main business segments: aeronautics, missiles and fire control, rotary and mission systems, and space. It's pretty much a leader in anything defense and space, which are more in demand today than ever before. The F-35 fighter jet represents roughly 25% of their sales, with sales expected to improve in the years ahead, given the U.S. government's current inventory objective, which is 2,456 aircraft for the military, and also commitments from companies, eight international partners, and overseas customers. two positives to be taken from that is they have a resilient customer base with the majority of its revenues from U.S. government departments and agencies. And then the second is the soft bailouts we've been seeing. The company is essential, and the U.S. is pretty much going to make sure it stays in good shape. The company has gross margins at 15.8% and net profit margins at 13.6%, a return on investing capital of 42%, a market cap of $99 billion, and a debt-to-asset ratio of 29%. With earnings estimates for 2020 near $25 and revenue growth of 9.7%, we're looking at a 15.7 times PE multiple and 15.2 times price to cash flow multiple. It has a dividend yield of 2.75% and a payout ratio of 44%. And looking at their dividend history, in 2018, they raised it by 10% and has actually done so for 10 straight years. In 2019, the balance sheet was just 1.1 times levered. They rarely buy other companies and they don't lever up big to do buybacks. So at 1.1 times leverage, they can sustain an impaired business environment much better than most companies. So we expect the business to hold up well in the event of a downturn in the economy or domestic government spending. And I'll turn it over to Adam for our fifth and final pick.
So Amazon, up 3% year to date. So in a world where everything seems like it's red, there are still some names out there with green on them. Well-positioned company in multiple different facets. First, you've got the Whole Foods division with Prime Delivery. You've seen an increased usage of that as people are less likely to go to a store. They want to stay at home. So you've seen a pickup in that. You've also seen just an overall change in the way people are shopping in general. So there was a secular shift where people were shopping online. But even still, 90% of all transactions happened in a brick-and-mortar store. This has obviously changed that significantly. So we see this as an accelerant for that secular trend that was going to take quite a bit of time, is pushing people to that faster. So the typical Amazon shopping experience is obviously where more and more people are going to buy everything. And then last and finally is Amazon Web Services. Now, this is the elephant in the room. You know, this has really been the strong driver of profitability for Amazon, and it's come under pressure, but has seen some stabilization over the last couple quarters. So last quarter grew over 40%, and we see that exceeding that this next quarter, as you see more and more companies forced to work towards a remote infrastructure. You're actually seeing some stress there on Amazon to keep up with demand. A very strong balance sheet, very little debt at 34.5% debt to total assets. Earnings, we think, are going to come towards the high end of the range, around $28 per share. Right now, the current price is $1,900. So we see still potential upside there. The PE is 68 times, but it's important to understand the way this company operates. They're still in heavy investment mode. If they turn that spigot off, you can see earnings accelerate significantly. So we see this as still a growth stock going forward. And then just to wrap up the stocks, I wanted to throw in a quick, I guess we'll call it an Adam pick here, just off the cuff with Kroger. It's up 10% year to date, so strongly in the green. I'm sure if any of you have gone to a local grocery store, you see that the shelves are very empty, and this is not because they can't get goods, it's because they're being purchased. What you're seeing at a Kroger is even more buying of the private label brands, which increases margins. So running the numbers, seeing margins increase from 2% to 2.5%, and you're seeing earnings at the top side should come in here at $2.25 per share. Right now, trading at 13 times earnings, this should move towards 12 times earnings, given the acceleration in both spending in the store and, more significantly, you're seeing more curbside purchases, which Kroger had been trying to move towards because it's a more efficient model and is a higher margin. So for that, that wraps up our top picks through the coronavirus. Greg, if you don't have anything to add there, I'll start shifting to fixed income.
So
Let me pick this up. So these are five stocks that we want to weather the storm. And then there's next week is five stocks that we think that you could take advantage of because of the coronavirus. And I think, Adam, that Kroger's a great example. The theme, if you go through these five stocks, low debt to assets, so low leverage, and also strong free cash flow. So these are solid business models that that can definitely weather the storm. All right, let's switch gears. Given the time frame we've got here, Charlie, Tiger King. Have you been watching Tiger King on Netflix?
Yes, I'm about. I think I've watched four episodes, so only a couple more left.
So. God. Words can't describe, can they?
No.
So, you know, if you were left to your own, would you have watched this if we were in a normal working environment? But because you're at home, you can like find these things to watch now.
I think I would not be watching this if we were not under the work from home.
I think what this really means is we need a sports update. So we've got to get sports back up and running.
I am in full agreement there.
Tell us what's going on with oil. I was able to fill up my gas tank this weekend for like $1.20 a gallon or something ridiculous that I haven't seen since 1983. What's going on?
Yeah, I got mine at $1.69, so I think I might have gotten taken advantage of there. So energy had a huge week last week. I think it was the best week ever for WTI and Brent crude oil prices. WTI was up 32% to finish the week at $28.34 a barrel, which, mind you, is still more than 50% lower than where we were just 2 months ago. And so this occurred after President Trump gave a very bullish remark that he believes supply will be cut by 10 to 15 million barrels a day on a Saudi-Russian deal. The price gain is having a little bit of a pullback this morning. We're down, I think, about 4%. Because Russia did downplay Trump's statements that no agreement has been met. But they are working towards a deal. The OPEC Plus meeting has been put off a couple of days for this deal. And what I believe is likely a supply cut here means that United States oil companies have some sort of relationship, if not even cooperation with OPEC and Plus in the future. But we did see a very good week for energy markets last week.
Yeah, but the credit side, energy is still under a lot of stress and like,
yes.
Can we just real quick on the credit market, we're seeing a lot of stress in the credit market. One of the interesting things is the amount of heavy new issuance the last 2 weeks heading into the end of the quarter. What do you see for new issue volume this week? Any insight there?
It seems to have no reason to stop going. This morning, we have six huge names issuing out debt. I think three more secondary names, but Mitsubishi, Broadcom, BMW, Caterpillar, Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, Ally Financial, all issuing debt out this morning. And we broke records last week. Wouldn't be surprised we break it again this week.
Yep. Hey, Freddie, we are heading into earnings season now. Earnings kick off on Friday, this Friday. Any insight into your thoughts and how to navigate the earnings season, given what's going on with the economy and the coronavirus?
I mean, it seems like nobody really knows at this point. But yeah, banks and financials all start reporting early next week. So that's one thing to look forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be an interesting. A lot of companies have pulled forward guidance. So it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate earnings and then what the outlook for 2020 looks like. Adam, anything on your end that makes any sense this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of just a guessing game on earnings. And then I agree with Charlie, just credit markets are just flooded. So it's going to be an interesting week.
So next week's call will cover the five stocks for the benefit from the virus impact. And then also we've got some model changes that we're working through this week as well. So we want to talk about those next week. With that, I'm going to shut it down and wish you guys a good, safe week. Be safe out there. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.